The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning all, Ryan Tuberty with you this Wednesday morning. It's the 10th of June 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. Our text number is 51551 and you can email ryan@rte.ie. It's good to be back with you. And thanks so much to Oliver Callan for doing such a splendid job while I was away. But back on Wednesday, on a Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. And that is, of course, a quote from, yes, a Beatles song. Of course I'm back. You know, when I'm talking about the Beatles again. Well, weirdly, I came across this book, and I wasn't going to start talking about this, but now that we're here, this book called 1, 2, 3, 4, as in 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's all about the Beatles by a guy called Craig Brown. Now, about 10 years ago, I raved about a book by the same author. He writes for Private Eye, so you can get the sense that he's a humorist, but he's also got a great way with words. And the book, I think, was called One on One. And that book was a series of vignettes in people's lives. And every second, every time he'd mention somebody famous, he'd make a connection with the person on the next page. And it went on and on like a domino. And it was fascinating. It was, there wasn't one boring word in that book. And I have it at home. It's well leafed because it's just such a brilliant book. And it could go from anywhere from Adolf Hitler to Liz Taylor and on to David Frost. And every one of them had a connection, one after another. So this book, 1, 2, 3, 4... is a very, very substantial selection of Beatles vignettes, little stories that you may never have heard of, written in the most peculiar but utterly compelling way. It is a must-have book for a music fan, let alone a Beatle fan. It's an absolute joy. If you have a Beatle fan in your life, that's it. I mean, if it was Christmas time, I'd be saying, buy it now and have it there because you dip into it. I was reading other stuff, which I'll tell you about later on in the last few days off, but this one is a selection box, and every time you go back to it, you get a little slice of chocolate. You go, oh, that's nice. And then you put it down because you don't want to eat three bars in a row. So it's called 1, 2, 3, 4 by Craig Brown, and it is and was a joy. I had a concert in the kitchen. I don't know if you've heard of this because I hadn't until I just made it up in my head, which was, I was meant to be going to see Paul McCartney for my 10th time when I was off. And rather than go and see him, he came to see me. By that I mean I found an old concert, put it up on YouTube and ordered in a few drinks and got stuck into essentially a concert in the kitchen. And that was one of the great nights off since I was last talking to you. So I hope you've all been well. And that you're doing okay. Things have changed dramatically since I was last here in many ways. I was watching the curtains being drawn open a little wider again last Friday by the Taoiseach when he was talking about the restrictions moving. And I was kind of half keeping an eye on the corner of the screen to see how Tony Houlihan was taking all of this. I was wondering, was he okay, or did he go home that night thinking, oh, I warned them, lads. I meet people and say in the supermarket, what do you think? Are we moving too fast, or are we getting it just right? Are we going for wealth over health? Or, yeah, these are the things everyone's discussing among themselves, of course, among ourselves. It seems like it's going really well, as well as can be, from what I can see. I was talking to people in the hospitality business and in the hotels. My cousin's a hotelier right in the Abbey Glen in Clifton. And he was telling me that their biggest concern for hoteliers around the country is patients, strangely. Isn't that a strange thing? He said, we need, if we're going to be holidaying at home, and I love that we are, we need to be patient with the staff, patient with the hotel owners, patient with each other, trying to get our heads around it. It was a good point and a good call. Everyone's a bit nervous. Everyone's kind of walking into the sea, knowing it's kind of cold, but ultimately hoping after a swim in the sea, it gets warm. So I think that there is that sense of, all right, everybody, mind yourselves. You know, that things are going to be very different. Try not to get over the top when we're ordering things and asking for things. And it's a whole new world order. So we're all treading in there together at the same time, holding hands, as I keep saying metaphorically. But we seem to be moving in the right track. And amazingly, we also seem to have rolled, most of us, rolled with the restrictions, rolled with the with what we've been asked to do, and queuing has become a thing. I went up to one of the Woodies on my time off, and I was there was a woman with her children standing at the door of the shop, and I went behind her to for my place in the queue. A woman went behind me in her place in the queue. About 10 minutes later, I said, this isn't moving very fast, because I thought there needed to be a lot of people around. I wasn't sure why it wasn't moving. The woman in front of me said, you know I'm not queuing. I said, oh, God, sorry. I'm sorry. There's no queue. But we've become so used to it, and I've become so automated that I was found myself, saw somebody, I said, well, now I must queue. That's what... That's how quick we become passively addicted to the norm, the normalization of what was once abnormal, but is now where we're at. In any road, but then of course we had the implosion of America, a place that is in such dark, deep trouble at the moment. I listened to an excellent podcast on the recommendation of a good friend called Rabbit Hole. And if you listen to The Daily, which is a New York Times podcast from America, if you, this is for American anorexics like myself, but this one, Rabbit Hole, is really, really intriguing, because it looks at the proliferation of conspiracy theorists, conspiracy theories, and how they've grown dramatically in the States in the last 5 years. Now, they always had, there was always the who shot JFK, that's fine. But I'm talking about, this is much more serious, and fake news, and whether it's Russia, or indeed Brexit and Britain, and all the elections, and how we are all being manipulated. Because, you know, you find yourself sometimes, and I don't know if this is true or not, but you find yourself, you'd be in a conversation with somebody and you'd say, you know that film, the Quentin Tarantino film, and you mention, you know, Inglourious Bastards, something like that. And then you go to your phone and a thing will pop up saying, you need to download this film that, well, how do you know? I didn't look up anything. How did you listen? And now am I being a conspiracy theorist? It's confusing. But Rabbit Hole is intrigued. Looks into this thing called QAnon and 4chan and Pizzagate and PewDiePie, and all these things will be of interest to those of you who know what I'm talking about, because I've listened to this, and the others will be going, what's he talking about? But if you're interested in it, it's an intriguing look at where America is. And in fact, it really is. A lot of these people would be Trump supporters, and not all of them, but just a lot of them. And it feeds into that. You saw him last night saying that the guy that was pushed by the police in Buffalo, that it was a setup, and that he was, had his agenda, whatever. This is the 75-year-old man who fell down with a pool of blood on his on the ground beside his head. But Governor Cuomo lifted him out of it over that, and whether that has any effect, I don't know. Although I do think, watching his the Black Lives Matter movement growing, I remember the Rodney King incident, as I'm sure a lot of you do, back in, I think it was 1992 or thereabouts, 91 maybe. Because I think George Bush Sr. was president at the time. And the outcome of that, to me, as I recall as a student, was it was a lot to do about rioting and rather than civil rights. Whereas now it's a totally different story. As somebody said this morning, it's closer to the Me Too movement. It seems to have a critical mass, and it seems to be moving in a much more positive direction with any luck. But just watching the White House and the ring of steel around it, and all I keep thinking of is Gilead and The Handmaid's Tale, and that America has become a very, very dystopian image of what it used to be. It's so dark, so bleak, and hopeless. And I'm somebody who's a great man for the bit of hope. I'm a devil for the hope, but it's looking so dark. And although, having said that, for the first time in 3.5 years, if you were a betting man or woman, I thought I saw a chink in the armour of the Trump re-election, the definitive nature of it. The difficulty for some people, as has been suggested, is that if he does, if Trump doesn't get elected, if Biden gets elected, you see what Trump is doing at the moment with the ballot, saying that the ballots will be invalid and so forth, and he's muddying the waters. He mightn't want to go. And good luck with that conversation. But we shall see. Hopefully that constitution is stronger than we know. But it will be tested will it not? And on the subject of Black Lives Matter, you saw that Little Britain has been axed from the streaming services it's on. And I see that the person, Marta Kaufman, who co-created Friends, the TV show, has said that she didn't do enough to promote racial diversity in her shows. I think I don't know if about retrospective application of Black Lives Matter is going to work, because we could excavate everything that was ever written and say that's wrong, 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 wrong. I don't think that's healthy. I think it's about, as I think it's much better to talk about now and the future rather than the past. And we could go through every television program. We'd be here all day, and I think it's a waste in some ways. No harm to say, yeah, that was not great. Couldn't Al Jolson? Not great. But they were of their time now, and we have to say what shouldn't be of its time is what's happening in the future. So, but I suspect, you know, we just have to worry about cancelling everything in the past for the future, because there are a lot of positive things going on now in terms of Black Lives Matter, and I think that people are waking up to the fact that you can't do a show like Friends anymore and consider it to be it's too white, if you like. I heard Enda Kenny's voice on doing the ads for the Irish Hospice Bereavement Support Line, and I saw a lady on the news last night talking about it. I just wanted to mention it here, that it's the at Irish Hospice, and they have a bereavement support line. I think this is really important, and the reason I say that is because I think that we have been so good with grief in this country in the past, that the power of a wake and the power of a ham sandwich. And you'd think I'm being facetious. I'm not, or flippant. It's strange the amount of people who talk about how they miss the cup of tea and the sandwich after a funeral to say, shake the hand and a hug. Since COVID, it's changed everything. And this is a dedicated national phone line in partnership with HSE Live to support people grieving in these exceptional circumstances and times. So head towards the Irish Hospice Foundation, and you'll see that there's a line there to call 1800 807 0077. I won't give it out again, because I'll be here all day reading numbers, but I do think it's a good one to get your hands on, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Just if you're in the horrors of grief, and it is horrible and a horrific time for people, and you feel that the people around you are also grieving, so you don't want to burden them, make a phone call. And that's what it's there for. And at the other end of that line is somebody who knows what you're going through and can ease the pain a bit. So just worth pointing out. You might also want to pick up the phone and hear a poem. This is at Kilkenny County Council Arts Office Poetry Phone. This is an interesting one. You can make a phone call, and at the other end of the phone will be a poem. That free phone, 1800 272 994. It's a poetry phone. And listen to a poem, pick a number between 0 and 9. All of the poems are written by Kilkenny poets and published in Kilkenny Arts Office's poetry broadsheet. And enjoy. Isn't that nice? So go to Kilkenny County Council if you want to find out more information on that. Also, Poetry Ireland are doing something similar, and you can call them and listen to a pre-selected time and listen to reassuring and uplifting poems, such as Lines Composed upon Westminster Bridge by William Wordsworth, or Making Love Outside Oris Neutron by Paul Durkin. Now, there's a few poems that'll brighten your day and give you a lift in a manner of speaking. And elsewhere, you have the other news that, the Irish Daily Star, featuring a very serious story, obviously, that we dealt with here. Actually, I think it was on 2FM when I was back there at the time, when we spoke with Hazel Behan, and she'd been in touch to tell her story. If you remember correctly, I'm looking at the Irish Daily Star, Maddie suspect may be beast who raped me. A horrible story about Hazel. She was raped by a masked man in Portugal. And she has told how she fears that Madeleine McCann suspect Christian Bruckner, who I'm sure you've been hearing about, could be her attacker. And she, a mother of two from County Westmeath, as Paul Healy writes today in the Irish Daily Star, said that she got sick when she heard about the German sex offender who has been named the chief suspect in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. She said, "My mind was blown when I read about how he had attacked a woman in 2005. Both the tactics and the methods he used and the tools he had with him, how well he had planned it out, all," she said, reminiscent of what happened to her. I got sick, to be honest with you. As regarding about it, it took me right back to my experience. And she'd been working in Praia da Rocha in Portugal, at Praia da Roca, I presume, I don't know, a half an hour's drive from where Madeline was abducted when she was viciously assaulted. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that assault, but they were viciously, will do for now. Horrible. Stranger with a German accent, happened in her apartment in 2004. She was 2 weeks away from her 21st birthday when she was attacked. She said she had gone to bed around 1 a.m. I was woken by someone calling my name. I turned onto my back and standing there was a masked man dressed in tights and what resembled a leotard in a machete around 12 inches long in his hand, and so on and so forth. It was horrible. I'm going to play a little clip of the interview I did with Hazel from that time, which was 5 years ago now. And she was talking about her feelings about what had happened to her that in that awful time.
Did they ever find the man who did this to you?
No, I don't think it was taken as seriously as it should have been.
Why don't you think, why do you think that?
I don't think they wanted to highlight it as something that had happened in a resort.
To protect the holiday
industry, yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of 1830s kind of, you know, groups sort of came to the resort, which I still believe they should go. I'd love to go back myself. It's the one thing I have a plan on doing. I want to take, yeah.
To exercise the ghost.
And just to go back and it's a beautiful place. Like, Portugal's just amazing. And the Portuguese people were just, the ones that I knew and grew to love were just amazing to me. But the police, the legal side of it, unfortunately failed me. Yeah. I feel.
I'm thinking of Madeleine McCann now for some reason.
Yeah, that wasn't too long after, actually. Yeah, that was
the police there.
Yeah, do you know? Unfortunately, I find the system very corrupt, and that's just a personal thing. You know, I've had experience with them, so I'm just going off my own experience. So I don't want to kind of tired everyone of them with the same brush. But the ones that I met basically came to me saying that I was a holiday rep. You know, kind of. It comes with the territory kind of attitude. That's genuinely how they approached it. What was I wearing that night? Was I very, very drunk? Did I invite somebody into my room?
Incredible, isn't it? Hazel Bean talking to us 5 years ago. It also does, but it would sicken you, the attitude after such an event, and they're saying, what were you wearing? And you're a travel rep, are you? You know, that sort of thing is pretty appalling. But wishing Hazel well this morning, and hopefully she and her family are okay, because obviously that whole situation has, to use the word, triggered the memory of the horrible memory of what happened to her, of that awful moment in her life. Funny to talk about triggering. You had Santos on with Oliver on Monday, and it is intriguing. I've been listening to a lot of Liveline this week as well, stories of people who, what I'm trying to say is this, the Black Lives Matter story has landed here, and it's landed here in a, I think, hopefully a very positive way, in that we're talking, and that's really good. And for all of the people that were in touch to this show, any show, to say, you know, I've been shouted at, I've been called the most awful things. Even at home, the girls were showing me some of the people on their, you know, on the phones that have Irish women, particularly who've gone online to say, I'm 18, 19, I'm mixed race, I'm black Irish, or whatever you want to call it. And they start listing off the things. It's really upsetting because these are our daughters, you know, these are our nieces, our sisters. And we regularly would drive along in the car going, how can people think this, A, there's something wrong in the world, that because your skin is that, therefore we have to act like this. It's remarkable. And you would think in 2020, when you look at 1968, the last, when Martin Luther King was killed and so on, and you think, well, hopefully we'll move on. If you were a kid, a student in 1968, you'd probably think, well, don't worry, by the time we get to, imagine, the magical 2000s, they'll have that all sorted out. We'll be in our shape-shifting rockets heading in and out of the shop. No, we're queuing. We're queuing to buy a bag of hammers in Woody's. You're like, and listening to people talking about being called horrible things on the radio. Okay. I've had too much time to think. I just think it's good that we are talking about it. Put it that way. I think it's probably better. A text says, I delved into conspiracy theories yesterday as a result of reading a post on a large Irish Facebook book group. The amount of misinformation and outright scandalous ignorance and sometimes even barely veiled anger was appalling. This stuff has taken root here as well. Interesting you should say that. I was wondering, because I was talking about maybe doing something on this on the programme, talking to somebody who knows all about it. And I thought, I wonder, would you guys be interested in hearing about it, or would it be just a bit niche? But there is a section of in a group in Ireland, I think, who love conspiracy theories and who would love to say that we're the water's contaminated and 5G is out to get us. And you know, people... So it has seeped in a bit. And the problem with seepage is a seep can often become a deluge. And we don't need that in our world, do we? Just booked a week in Dingle in July, says Tim from Sneem, living in Mayo. It's complicated. Hope all will be well and back to the new normal by then. Support Irish business. You know, I've been saying it for months now, and I'll say it one more time about it's Irish business. Shop local. We know this. But also... if you're going to go on a holiday, if you can afford a holiday in Ireland, go for it. And book it today. Go online. Go on, find the place that you love in the world and say, right, is there a place there I can rent? Or is there a B&B? I saw the woman on the news last night, the B&B, and she said, it's going to be weird. But yeah, of course, it's weird for everyone. But as my friend Brian was saying, patience all around and we'll get through it together. But yeah, dude, book that holiday. Go for it if you can. I heard a few people saying, oh, I know so-and-so was going by plane to there and by plane to... I was going, oh... We need the money in the economy and we need it here. So if you can, if you're lucky enough to be able to go for it. Meanwhile, the world's largest aircraft, the Anatov 225, is now en route over Turkey from Baku Airport in Azerbaijan to Shannon Airport with PPE for the HSE. That's the message from RTE. Due to land at 1:40. We're very excited about that, aren't we? Don't forget to look up. Hashtag wash your hands. Thank you. So that is a massive. They're saying it's the biggest plane. It's the biggest plane in the world ever. It's obviously huge, but that means it's a lot of PPE. So that's a good news. Good. Another one from Billy in Wexford says Craig Brown rang a bell. So sure enough, he also wrote "Ma'am, Darling: 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret," which is one of the most hilarious books I've ever written. Brilliant and hugely entertaining. He writes brilliant. Well, we might get him on actually, Craig Brown, because he writes so well and they're really quick. So you're not sitting there all day. Board out your tree, listen to them. What do we got for you this one? Let's go with 926 here. 51551 is the text. All right, that's Labyrinth. Express Yourself at 9:30. Bang on 9:30 this Wednesday morning. Piece from the Business Post by Aaron Rogan and Roisin Burke saying that Stripe, the online payments platform, will not charge fees on funds raised to pay bail for people arrested as part of the Black Lives Matter protest in the US. This is the two lads we had on the Late Late not too long ago, Limerick brothers, Patrick and John Collison. They're also going to waive $1 million worth of fees to organisations that are fighting systemic racism in the US. Bail funds have been set up in the states across the US in response to the number of protesters being arrested at demonstrations decrying police brutality and systemic racism. I think that's pretty impressive of the two lads, so well done to them. As I watched a lot, if you wonder what I did for the last 10 days, I cocooned myself. I disappeared from the world and it was lovely. And I watched a lot of television, cycled a little bit. But one of the documentaries I watched, which I'd heartily recommend, and when I mention something, you often say, where do I get it? You just have to, you're on your own, because I don't know where you find a lot of the stuff. There's so many places to go, and I don't want to kind of mentioning all the channels and everything. But this one's called Nixon on Nixon. And it is obviously Tricky Dicky, and... they use only and largely only his words from tapes from the secret recordings in the Oval Office, but also interviews with the likes of David Frost and so on, including his conversations with some of his cronies. And I was watching going, Nixon was kind of rehabilitated quite a bit after he left the presidency in his later years and for different things that he might have got right. But my God, what an ugly political character. And I know that Nixon... did a small visit, quite a small visit to, I think it was Timahoe. I'm right in saying that, in Kildare. My question today to you is, did anyone meet him? And did you like him? Did you shake his hand? And did you find him charming? Because he's just such, Tricky's a great name from Tricky Dicky. But if you want a great, if you're into your American politics, Nixon on Nixon is the name of that excellent documentary and well worth a look at. Right, lots of texts coming in. We'll get to them in a little while, but first, a break. Yeah, funny listening to Sarah saying there, you spend, we rush to the high street. The last place I want to be is the high street. I find myself really enjoying the local thing, and I not wanting to go to town. I saw the pictures of Grafton Street, certainly in the papers. And I'm delighted, by the way, that, that shops are busy and once it's all been done rightly and so on and so forth. But no, I've quite enjoyed, as I say, the local experience.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, at 5 to 10, yeah. Woof woof, Ryan, tell us about your dog. Yeah, the dog. Oh, I had another half an hour discussion about it yesterday. I'm just up, so I didn't learn if you got a dog or not. The answer is I didn't yet. I'm dying to hear of your new love. Do you remember when you were a kid and your dad would say to you, we'll see? I'm being that irritating dad at the moment, but we'll see. King Charles Cavalier is suddenly back in the picture as a potential, but I just don't know where to begin. That's my problem. Great to hear Jerry on the airwaves. Great lecturer in journalism in DCU. Thanks for all the advice, says Aisling. And there's a lot coming in on Nixon, weirdly, which is great. We'll get to some of those in a minute. I just have another break to take. I told you, the girls got me a lovely little shelf thing for my vinyl records. So it was flat packed and they put it together. And with a little help, but they did it. And I started stacking my vinyl yesterday and it looks really nice. So I'm going to go out and buy a good record player today. So by tomorrow, I'll regale you with the albums that I, you can probably guess them from now, but anyway. But that's one of today's jobs. Let's take some of those texts tomorrow because there's some good stuff there. We'll bring those to you in the morning, if that's okay. We're going to leave it there for now. Sarah McInerney is standing by. If you want to catch up, don't forget our podcasts are there for the show and you can email throughout the day and into the night to ryan@rte.ie. Thanks so much for listening. Great to be back. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.